last ever. Ken's last ever radio extravaganza. Sure when it's going to begin, but it might begin at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock today. Stay tuned to 91.7 FM for Ken's last ever radio extravaganza.
The last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Yeah. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Yeah. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Yeah. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Yeah. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Yeah. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one, though. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever one. Stay tuned for the extravaganza of your life.
Yeah, the last ever.
Yeah, last ever.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will sometimes no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstration through speeches and book bludgeoning the unconvinced into action. Thank you. Small bands of students are allowed to shut down great universities. Small groups of dissidents are allowed to shout down political candidates. Small cadres of professional protesters are allowed to jeopardize the peace efforts of the President of the United States. It's time to question the credentials of their leaders. And if in questioning we disturb a few people, I say it's time for them to be disturbed. Among us, a glib activist element that would tell us that our values are lies, and I call them impudent. Because anyone who impugns a legacy of liberty and dignity that reaches back to Moses is impudent, and I call them snobs. For most of them disdain to mingle with the masses who work for a living. A little over a week ago, I took a rather unusual step for a vice president. I said something. It's also been said that I call them intellectuals. I did not. I said they characterize themselves as intellectuals.
For all of us, this fall is becoming ever clearer. Will America be led by a president elected by a majority of the American people, or will we be intimidated and blackmailed into following the path dictated by a disruptive, radical, and militant minority? Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. Should isolate itself from world affairs. To my mind, this is another sign of illness. It demands that a vigorous, powerful nation withdraw from the world scene and commit its full resources to solving its internal problems. We should, according to this point of view, not get involved abroad. But this misses what is the most elementary and most obvious fact in our times. We are involved. If that be the burden of power, then I suggest we make the most of it.
sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. Make no mistake about it. I don't want a man in here to go back home thinking otherwise. We are going to win. America wins the wars that she undertakes, make no mistake about it. And we have declared war on ignorance and illiteracy. We have declared war on poverty. We have declared war on disease. And we have declared war on tyranny and aggression. Intellectual and political circles, there is an opinion that America should isolate itself from world affairs. To my mind, this is another sign of illness. It demands that a vigorous, powerful nation withdraw from the world scene and commit its full resources to solving its internal problems. I have ordered our aircraft and our naval vessels to make no attacks on North Vietnam, except in the area north of the demilitarized zone where the continuing enemy buildup directly threatens Allied forward positions. We do not want an expanding struggle with consequences that no one can foresee, nor will we bluster or bully or flaunt our power. But we will not surrender.
We do not want an expanding struggle with consequences that no one can foresee. Nor will we bluster or bully or flaunt our power. But we will not surrender. And we will not retreat. We do not want an expanding struggle with
sick to be cured. And we have men to be free. There are poor to be lifted up, and there are cities to be built, and there's a world to be helped. We have children to teach. And we have sick to be cured. And we have men to be free. There are poor to be lifted up, and there are cities to be built, and there's a world to be helped.
In certain intellectual and political circles, there is an opinion that America should isolate itself from world affairs. To my mind, this is another sign of illness. It demands that a vigorous, powerful nation withdraw from the world scene and commit its full resources to solving its internal problems.
We have children
to
teach.
According to this point of view,
and we have sick to be cured.
Not get involved abroad.
And we have men to be free.
This misses what is the most elementary and most obvious fact in our
time. There are poor to be lifted up, and there are cities to be built, and there's a world to be helped. Yet, we do what we must. I am hopeful. We have children to teach. And we have sick to be cured.
We do not want an expanding struggle with consequences that no one can foresee. Nor will we bluster or bully or flaunt our power. But we will not surrender. And we will not retreat.
And we have men to be free. There are poor to be lifted up, and there are cities to be built, and there's a world to be helped.
But we don't plan to surrender either. And we don't plan to pull out either. And we don't plan to let people influence us and pressure and force us to divide our nation in a time of national peril. The hour is here.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action.
Yet, we do what we must. I am hopeful, and I will try with best I can with everything I've got to end this battle and to return our sons to their desires.
But we don't plan to surrender either, and we don't plan to pull out either, and we don't plan to let people influence us and pressure and force us to divide our nation in a time of national peril. The hour is here.
In certain intellectual and political circles, there is an opinion that America should isolate itself from world affairs. To my mind, this is another sign of illness. It demands that a vigorous, powerful nation withdraw from the world scene and commit its full resources to solving its internal problems.
The young, and by this I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination, all the young, but I'm talking about those who claim to speak for the young. At the zenith of physical power and sensitivity, overwhelm themselves with drugs and artificial stimulants. Subtlety is lost, and fine distinctions based on acute reasoning are carelessly ignored in a headlong jump to a predetermined conclusion.
Concern themselves something with a country that's trying to maintain her independence from aggression, that's being invaded.
Life is visceral rather than intellectual. And the most visceral practitioners of life are those who characterize themselves as intellectuals. Truth is to them revealed rather than logically proved. And the principal infatuations of today revolve around the social sciences, those subjects which can accommodate any opinion. In a headlong jump to a predetermined conclusion. Life is visceral rather than intellectual.
Yet, as long as others will challenge America's security and test the dearness of our beliefs with fire and steel, then we must stand or see the promise of two centuries tremble. Not get involved abroad. But this misses what is the most elementary and most obvious fact in our time. We are involved. If that be the burden of power, then I suggest we make the most of it. And the most visceral practitioners of life are those who characterize themselves as intellectuals. Truth is to them revealed rather than logically proved. And the principal infatuations of today revolve around the social sciences, those subjects which can accommodate any opinion and about which the most reckless conjecture cannot be discredited. Education is being redefined at the demand of the uneducated to suit the ideas of the uneducated. The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap. What I said before, I'll say again. It
time for the preponderant majority, the responsible citizens of this country, to assert their rights.
We know that most people's intentions are good. We don't question their motives. We've never said they're unpatriotic, although they say some pretty ugly things about us. We believe very strongly in preserving the right to differ in this country and the right to dissent. And if I have done a good job of anything since I've been president, is to ensure that there are plenty of dissenters.
A spirit of national masochism prevails, encouraged by an effete core of impudent snobs who characterize themselves as intellectuals.
President elected by a majority of the American people.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation.
Mistake about it. I don't want a man in here to go back home thinking otherwise. We are going to win.
Second pattern is a pattern of language. Now, language is an interesting thing. There are two distinctions here. One distinction I call TV. TV stands for transformational vocabulary. There are certain words, as I said earlier, that will magnify human emotion, and certain words that will lower the intensity of human emotion. So you just got to know which words. You say to somebody something like, you know, I really like you a lot. I guess it's a different experience than if you say, I love you.
But we don't plan to surrender either. And we don't plan to pull out either. And we don't plan to let people influence us and pressure and force us to divide our nation in a time of national peril.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books
is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action. The young, and by this I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination all the young, but I'm talking about those who claim to speak for the young. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation.
Second pattern is the pattern of language. Now, language is an interesting thing. Two distinctions here. One distinction I call TV. TV stands for transformational vocabulary. There are certain words, as I said earlier, that will magnify human emotion and certain words that will lower the intensity of human emotion.
And now we have among us a glib activist element that would tell us that our values are lies. And I call them impudent. Because anyone who impugns a legacy of liberty and dignity that reaches back to Moses is impudent.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation.
And I call them snobs.
We seem to be approaching
an age of the gross. Most of them disdain to mingle with the masses who work for a living.
Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action.
And I call them snobs, for most of them disdain to mingle with the masses who work for a living.
The young, and by this I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination all the young, but I'm talking about those who claim to speak for the young. At the zenith of physical power and sensitivity overwhelm themselves with drugs and artificial stimulants. Subtlety is lost, and fine distinctions based on acute reasoning are carelessly ignored.
certain intellectual and political circles, there is an opinion that America should isolate itself from world affairs. To my mind, this is another sign of illness. It demands that a vigorous, powerful nation withdraw from the world scene and commit its full resources to solving its internal problems. Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action.
Make no mistake about it. I don't want a man in here to go back home thinking otherwise. We are going to win. Undertakes, make no mistake about it. And we have declared war on ignorance and illiteracy. We have declared war on poverty. We have declared war on disease. And we have declared war on tyranny and aggression. Now, America wins the wars that she undertakes, make no mistake about it. And we have declared war on ignorance and illiteracy. We have declared war on poverty. We have declared war on disease. Now, America wins the wars that she undertakes, make no mistake about it. And we have declared war on ignorance and illiteracy. We have declared war on poverty. We have declared war on disease. And we have declared war on tyranny and aggression. America wins the wars that she undertakes. America wins the wars that she undertakes. Make no mistake about it.
We have children to teach.
Why don't people concern themselves something with a country that's trying to maintain her independence from aggression?
We do not want an expanding struggle with consequences that no one can foresee. Nor will we bluster, or bully, or flaunt our power. But we will not surrender. And we will not retreat.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation.
Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Information available counterfolk.com/last ever. Archives of past performances. Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza, which has been airing for 10 years. Can be heard Tuesday nights on this radio station, Co-op, from 6:30 until 7 p.m. You can listen on the internet. You can listen after you've missed it on the webpage at counterfolk.com/last ever. You can send comments, feedback, suggestions, criticism, and food to the email address ken@counterfolk.com. You can also sign up for the announcements mailing list at ken@counterfolk.com. This has been a live production known sometimes as Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Coming up next, Writing on the Air.
We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action. The young, and by this I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination all the young, but I'm talking about those who claim to speak for the young. At the zenith of physical power and sensitivity, overwhelm themselves with drugs and artificial stimulants. Subtlety is lost, and fine distinctions based on acute reasoning are carelessly ignored in a headlong jump to a predetermined conclusion. Life is visceral rather than intellectual. And the most visceral practitioners of life are those who characterize themselves as intellectuals. Truth is to them revealed rather than logically proved. And the principal infatuations of today revolve around the social sciences, those subjects which can accommodate any opinion and about which the most reckless conjecture cannot be discredited. Education is being redefined at the demand of the uneducated, to suit the ideas of the uneducated. The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap. A spirit of national masochism prevails, encouraged by an effete core of impudent snobs who characterize themselves as intellectuals.
Last Ever Radio Extravaganza.